Well, let's start from the book of Romans chapter 4. Now, here it was, we have been talking about what we described as a creative power. We looked at Genesis chapter 1, how God began to create. And from there, since God told, when God was declaring to Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, he said that my ways are not your ways. But then the context of what he was saying is that my ways, you are supposed to come up and learn my way of doing things. Do you understand that? And I've said this again and again. Let me just start by saying it. I made a statement last week and I felt like repeating it. That's last time we're here. I feel like just repeating it for us to understand. It's that these Christians don't struggle to succeed. Now listen to this. I'd just like to start with it. This is God's order for this life. This is what God ordained for things to be. That Christians will not struggle to succeed, but that they succeed in their hearts first. Now listen to that. That is, it's inside their hearts that success comes out from. And that the first thing that happens is that they settle down in their hearts and receive success from the hand of God. Are you getting my point? Or whatever thing they want to achieve in life, they will receive the ability to achieve it first in their heart, all right, from the Lord. And once they have done that, then the events of life will begin to cooperate to bring naturally out of them, that is, onto the physical level, the things that they have received from God in their heart. I hope I can already say. That is, we'll talk about the power of grace. Grace is that thing that God does for you once you are cooperating with what he wants to do on the earth. That's the meaning of grace. Grace is not just unmerited favor, like we say. It is unmerited in the fact that what we're experiencing is far beyond what we could have achieved by ourselves. But the fact about grace is that it is a manifestation of the power of God towards those that believe. So Paul explained it like this, that I am what I am by the grace of God, and his power working towards me did not prove vain, in that I labored more than them all. Are you getting my point? He said, I labored more than everybody else. That is, grace manifests as labor. That is, you see somebody who is doing something, what he's achieving is far beyond his own personal and inherent abilities. Then that person is working by grace. It's not just that God has dashed him something. Please, I hope you're getting my point. But that he's working out something in his life and God is amplifying his effort by a manifestation of God's Spirit. Now, we said that is what God expects for Christians to experience. He said that we have an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Paul was explaining that. So now we began to see from the book of Genesis chapter 1 how God began to create. If you remember, we read from Genesis chapter 1, which we all know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2 says that the earth was without form and it was void. He said, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And then the Spirit of God was hovering, all right, upon the surface of the waters. And then God said, don't forget what I said. When God said, he did not speak English. Whatever language he spoke, we do not know. But what we know is that when God spoke, it was an overflow of what he had brooded upon. And that's what I want to talk about today. Today, again, I'm going to be talking about, I'm saying again, because in previous times we have used that expression, wisdom for salvation. So I want to talk about wisdom again. Today, it won't be wisdom for salvation. It will be what? Wisdom for creation, all right? I think that is good. All right, let me use that expression. Today I'll be talking about wisdom for creation. That is, when God brooded, and let me just share this one with you as introducing what I want to say before we read our opening verse of scripture. Now, if you read from Genesis chapter 1 again, you see that God began to create. In verse 3, he said, let there be light. Don't forget, this was after the Spirit of God had moved or brooded, we have seen, over the surface of the waters. In verse 3, he says, let there be light, and there was light. And he said that the light was good. Please notice this. What I want to say will interest you. He said the light was good. Then if you go down to around verse 10, after he had created the dry land and the waters that he sees, the Bible said that God saw that it was good. That is, God looked and he perceived that it was good. This is interesting, but I'm going somewhere. Now, we naturally expect that every time God says something should be, he always saw it and said it is good. All right? Because at the end of the day, in this whole thing, he said that, Bible said that God, after he had made everything, he said God looked at everything that he had done, and behold, it was what? Very good. Verse 31. The Bible said God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, this is the meaning of very good. I'm coming to something. Just follow me closely. Each time he made something, it was a piece of a whole picture. So each one was good. Are you getting my point? Now, when he put everything together, it was very good. It's not as if the last creation was better than each one. It's just that this was a summary of everything. Now, this is the interesting part. Shortly after that, he now observed that something was not good. Now, I don't know whether you're funny what I'm trying to say. Now, God made everything and said, look, this one is very, very good. Everything, very good. Then in chapter 2, verse 18, yes. Then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, get what I'm going to say. He had made everything and he said it was good. Now, the point in time was as if he looked and said, no, this one is not good. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, the next thing he did after that was what? He now began to take steps to make adjustments to something that was not good. Now, what I'm trying to say, you will understand in a moment. Because you must get to the point, this is how life is. God, after he made everything and he made the body of Christ, not even the word body of Christ, that is anything that Christ wants to do on the earth, he does through his body. Are you getting my point? Now, anything that God wants to do on the earth now, he does through people. And there's a reason why I'm explaining this. Sometimes what you want to do or what God wants you to do, you do it the first time, all right? And it is not as good as you proposed it to be. It is not a sign of failure. It is a sign that you have to take a step and make certain adjustments. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. After God made Adam, he himself looked and said, now let me tell you the meaning of the word good again so that you understand what God was saying. When you use the word good, is because you understand that you are going for a particular end. Are you getting my point? And then this thing you have done is cooperating or is contributing positively to where to the place where you are going. So you say that thing is good. Are you getting my point? That is, if you wanted to travel and your car is not firing well, you go to the mechanic and it tunes the engine and then you go there, you rev it, zoom. You say, now it is good. Because now you understand that if you fire this car, you will get to where you are going the way you planned it. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, if the mechanic had forgotten the reason why he came there and called a panel beater to come and work on the rusty parts of the car, are you getting what I'm saying? And when you got there, you have a very beautiful ride. But then you enter, the thing is not moving. Ah. You know, you don't realize the beauty anymore. You come and say, what is it that you have done? I say, okay, you don't like the way we sprayed it. I didn't ask you to spray it. What is your problem? Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say here. Now, so that's the way it is with God. Everything he's doing is going for a particular end. And once something that is done is fitting properly into his position so as to bring out the end that God has in mind, then that thing is good. Are you following my point? Now, when God said, subdue the earth, all right? He said, fill the earth and multiply. Then he looked at Adam and said, no, you can't do that alone. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. So he said, no, this one is not good. Therefore, we have to make an adjustment. That's why we're talking about what? Wisdom for creation. Because, you see, I said something earlier, which I must explain again. When God said, let there be, it was not words in English. Are you getting my point? It was that there was an overflow in his heart. Having brooded upon the situation, having considered what he was going to do about it and what he needed to bring the solution to pass, then he spoke. But really, when you are talking in spiritual terms about speaking, it is not just a deliberate action at uttering words, but words that come out of a fullness of the heart. Are you getting my point? It's not just that God spoke because he wanted to speak. It is that God spoke after he had brooded. After he had considered everything, the picture was now full in his heart. Therefore, it spilled out like an eruption from his mouth. You've heard of volcanic eruptions before. You know, you think it's boiling inside, then suddenly the cap upon the volcano, you know, the pressure is so much, it breaks it open, and then the magma begins to pour forth. You say there's an eruption. Speech, in reality, in the realm of the spirit, is supposed to be an eruption. Not just an utterance of words. I hope you get what I'm going to say. That's why the Bible talks about empty words. You can have a clanging cymbal. You can have an empty sounding, you know, voice. Somebody says something but does not carry any power because it is not a manifestation or it's not an eruption from what has filled the heart. The person is just talking. You are getting what I'm going to say? Now, so with God, it was after he had brooded. He had looked at the situation. And don't forget something I said before. When God, this is just the way it is with life. God started from a position in which something was bad. That is, the earth was without form and it was void. Now, the normal human response is that the earth is without form, it is void. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to abandon the earth and we'll move towards Jupiter. Because the earth is without form. Because the earth is void. You are getting my point. So, we move towards Jupiter. We abandon the earth. But God doesn't do that. He looks at the earth. And say, well, since it is formless, and it is void. We must do something about it. And the first thing he does is to sit down and, you know, conjure up in his heart what he wants done about the situation. Now, why is I talking about God speaking and that eruption is that? Because of the power of the, pardon me to use the word, of the soul of God, all right? Because of the power of his person. When he spoke, the world, the earth responded rapidly. I'm explaining something here. Now, somebody who is less powerful might speak, the earth will still respond, but not as fast. I don't know whether you follow what I'm going to say. It will still respond. So when the Bible said, and it was so in an instant, the way we understand God to be, when he spoke. But when somebody who has not attained, which is very difficult to attain, really, I don't know what I can get there. But you don't have that God capacity, you will still use the same principles, but the response may not be instantaneous. Are you getting my point? You can plot the response over time. Now, you know, I said this as a very good illustration earlier. If you have a very fast computer, maybe you go and tell you go and take an Intel quad core. You know, they are powerful machines that use 4 cores, all right? This is most common personal computers use 2 cores, all right? Intel dual core, all right? Now, if you try to do a processing on this, an old Celeron machine, what it will process in about 10 seconds. If you use it with an Intel dual core, maybe it will do it in about, from my experience, maybe like 2 seconds. Do you get my point? The power of the machine varies. Now, imagine if you now use a 4-core processor with a level 2 caching of like 8 megabytes and a RAM of like 6 or 8 gigabytes. Before you click the button, it has finished saving. Therefore, you say, let the machine save. And it was saved. Do you understand what I'm going to say? But if you use a slower machine, you say, let the machine save. Then the progress bar will appear. The first button will go, the next one, and we'll be watching it for the next 2 minutes. Are you following what I'm saying? That is the same way God created human beings. That's how God made it. You are to create like that also. But the response may not be as rapid. It will be projected over time, but it will still happen. Therefore, listen to this. You will have the opportunity, therefore, to be noticing points that are not good before you finally get to the end that it is good. No, you don't get me. I gave an example last time. Let's assume that I'm an MD of a company. This was my illustration last week. Like, well, last time we were here. I'm an MD of a company, and we say we want to increase our sales to, in a month, we want to be making 25 million naira sales every month. What are we doing right now? The sales are formless and they are void. So they say that we are doing only 500,000 naira in a month. Now, this is the summary of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be 25 million naira monthly sales, and it was so. Are you getting my point? That's a very fast processor. But let's come down to what we are. Now remember that he said this and said that and said this and said that. At the end, it was good. Then along the line, he saw another point that he was going to and said, this will not work. It is not good. Therefore, he began to make amends to that which was not good. Now, sir, just bear all these points in mind. So now when I want to do that, first thing I do is I look. Let there be light was the first thing that God said. I might look at my product and say, let there be new packaging. I hope you're getting my point. That is the first thing I will say. Now, why will I say that? Because before I begin to talk, I first sit down upon the reason why I'm selling only half a million naira a month and my competitor is doing 50 million. Are you getting my point? That is a brooding. Let me say something. Please, quickly go down to Proverbs chapter 8. This will help me to explain something here. The book of Proverbs chapter 8. Now, wisdom was speaking, if you read from verse 12. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Down to 14, he said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Wisdom was speaking. He said, I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Now, I'm going to jump down for a number of reasons. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Now, let me go back, please. From verse, there's something I want to read. It said, riches and honor, that's verse 18, are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth that I may fill their treasuries. Now, this is actually where I'm going. I read that one because I'll refer to it in a moment. He said, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, he said, from everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. Now, please go down to verse, I want to just summarize something. In verse 27, he said, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. Well, later on, you'll see in verse 33, because of these things I have said, he said, heed instructions and be wise, and do not neglect it. Now, I've read this to bring out a point, that you see that the Bible talks about wisdom, and that at the beginning in creation, what God employed in creation was what? Wisdom. That is, wisdom said, I was there with him when we're creating. That both of us did this work together. I was beside him as a master workman. Please get that point. Because you see, the Bible, I said before, is very detailed. He says things in codes. He makes a statement. If you look closely at it, you will see the depth of the revelation inside that thing. When we're talking about creation now, what we have seen is that God created by saying, and there was. It's a very short summary. But if you look closely, you'll see that first, before he spoke, he brooded. Are you getting my point? And that was why he went day one, day two, day three, day four. Why did he not just say, let the earth be perfectly complete, and he went away? Do you get my point? The first thing he did was, let there be light, and there was light. Then he'll go ahead and say, let there be vegetations. Let there be living things. Finally, he said, let us make man. Then having made man, he said, we are going somewhere because we have commanded the man to fill the earth and subdue it. He cannot do that purpose alone. So we have to make for him a helpmate. That is what? Wisdom. God is taking things, what? Step by step. He's following a due process. He's following a due order in bringing a perfect picture out. And when he will have finished everything, he will say, behold, it is what? Very good. Now, please bear that in mind. I'm talking about wisdom for creation. Because sometimes the problem with Christians is that we are too lazy. A lot of time, what we like is what? Emergency breakthrough. Just come and pray this night, and tomorrow morning, you are in breakthrough. Unfortunately, you don't build anything everlasting like that. Are you getting my point? In fact, you will see that the Bible says concerning most of the people that God healed under the ministry of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to analyze that. Number one, most of them were baptized by John before the healing came. And those that received prosperity from the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Bible says it was by the preaching of the gospel to them. Those who got healed, the Bible said they came to hear and to be healed. People just want something instantaneous. God did not create instantaneously. He took his time. He used wisdom. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That is the wisdom. No, there are two things I found out that, you know, as I was meditating, I just wanted to write it down. Then I found scriptures, plenty, that said exactly that. I said there are two things that God gives a believer. Number one, it is wisdom. And number two, it is what? Power. He doesn't just give wisdom. He gives also what? Power. He said Christ, the wisdom and the what? The power of God. Those are the two things that God gives. Before the power of God begins to manifest, you first experience what? The wisdom of God. I said concerning God, what did he do? He broke down creation into different parts. Number one, let there be light. Number two, something else was created. Finally, he created the man. Are you getting my point? Now, let's get back to the MD that I am. Can you remember that? I was saying something about being an MD. Now, this was where I was. So we say we are going for 25 million naira sales a month. So first thing we do is to what? Brood upon why we are where we are. And what are the things we need to make as adjustments? Because it is not just praying. I was writing something some recently. I said Christians, I think they have prayed enough. Are you getting my point? Because you see, prayer is like that. Prayer is power. It can be stored. Are you getting my point? Don't think that once you pray, the thing is gone. No. You can finish praying and the template upon which the prayer will work has not yet been built. So they put the prayer in a sensor somewhere and keep it in an archive in heaven. So when you get there, we will bring it down. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, you can pray for prosperity. And God says, I have heard.
But the thing upon which I will pour the prosperity, you have not yet built it. Do you get my point? So having prayed and having gotten the answer is kept somewhere, waiting for the day the platform upon which will manifest the prosperity will be created. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. So that's the way it is. It's not just praying. God gives wisdom. He was the master workman that was beside the Lord when he was creating. So back to my company. So I said, okay, 25 million we are going for, we are half a million. So we brood upon why we are having those problems. Then, you know, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. It begins to stir your heart to notice certain things. So he says, make changes here. So and that's okay, packaging. All right, we need new packaging. So first, instead of saying, let there be light, like God said, I say, let there be new packaging. Now, how does that, it's not just by shouting into the air. I give instructions to my workmen. Do you understand my point? Where the word of the king is, there is what? Power. A king is in authority. He's ruling. So I give instructions to my workmen. I say, from now on, I don't want blue on that carton. I want everything white and pink. Are you getting my point? And then they observe to do what I have said. Then they bring the first template. I said, this is good. Once I look at that, that is done. Then we'll go to the next level. Are you getting my point? They say, how come nobody knows we are making something that is this good? They say, oh, it is because we don't advertise. They say, why don't we advertise? Are you getting my point? They say, what they charge is too much. Now, you know what? Instead of doing, everybody does a 20-second advert, we are going to do 5-second spot adverts. It will give us a lot less bill, but then we'll be able to do some. Let's start from there. And then let's negotiate some credit facility with the radios and the TVs. Then, as soon as I say that, then they go and do it. They say, now we have prepared our adverts. There are just 4 or 10 seconds, depending on what I say. And then people begin to do that. Then I look. First day I hear it on radio, I say, that is what? Good. That is what God has given me to create my 25 million a month sales at different steps, like he used at the beginning. Are you getting my point? Just like when he finished making Adam, and he looked and said, no, this one is not good. In the same manner, I can hear the first jingle on air. I'll just go and say, no, stop airing that nonsense. It is not good. I have not changed my picture. All right? In fact, the reason why I said it is not good is because what I saw is not in agreement with the picture that I have in my mind. It's not like the word is not working. It's just that I have time to notice these different steps of not good. You get my point? And then I take the appropriate steps to correct it. Are you getting my point? Then after that, I go to the next step. What am I going to say? This is how wisdom works. Once you have noticed the next thing to say, to do, then you speak the word because you will notice it having brooded. You will notice it having considered the problem therein. It's upon that that you now declare. That is where God gives you grace. That is where God gives you favor. Are you getting my point? That is, God gave Moses a picture in the heavens and said, go down to the earth and see that you build the tabernacle exactly like I have said. He said, but while you are doing it, I have put the spirit of the craftsman in one man called Bezalel. Now, that is where grace comes. Where others will have struggled for 10 years to build maybe the ark or build the lampstand or build the altar, Bezalel will do the same thing in 1 month because he has the spirit to do it. That is where grace is. But the wisdom to decide what to do, that's not power. That is what? Wisdom. That is what you get by brooding. Now, get what I'm trying to say here. Because, you see, look at our nation as an example. You know, I said there are two kinds of people when you look at problems in life. There are those who say the earth is without form and it is void. Therefore, we shall move to what? Jupiter. I won't get there and say, no, why come Jupiter is so cold? So let's go down to Mercury. And we'll be shuttling up and down, being worked to and fro like the tail of a dog. So indeed, we'll become the tail and not the head. But what do heads do? Heads will look because they have a brain. They look and say, this is what the problem is. So they are trying to form solutions, all right, from the problems. I know, because of that, you know, I talk to people who have a lot of sense. When I say a lot of sense, I mean it in a good way. Are you following my point? That is, every time there's a problem, what they are thinking about is solutions. Let me tell you something. If you keep thinking like that, one day God will create the opportunity for you to exercise that you have thought about. Are you getting my point? You know, there's something I used to preach. Let me preach it again. Daydreaming is very good. Listen, now you have seen that you can't utter until you have what? Brooded. People want to utter, you know, they just want to blow wind from the mountain. The real volcano first boils inside. Are you getting my point? Before it erupts. It's not that somebody is pouring water and pouring hot water and pouring mud on top of it. The thing is boiling inside. before you erupt, you must first boil. You get what I'm saying? And that's what you do. You see situations in life. I was telling somebody the other day that if the governor wants to know, I can tell him how to make this town as fine as Calabar in 1 year. You know, I heard that Calabar is the reigning fine city now. After Abuja or before Abuja? After, I think it's after. All right, okay, so. All right, so it's the second reigning fine city in Nigeria. But I have the ideas. It's not, you say, Basma, are you so wise? No, not like that. Although I'm very wise. In fact, I am very, very wise. I have the wisdom of God, amen. But the point I'm making is that every time I drive by, what I see is what can be done better. Do you get my point? The other day, I went at night to go and buy fuel in Connor, the one across the road. And instantly, I had ideas. Because when I drove in there at night, I thought I was abroad. If you go to Lagos, a lot of those filling stations, as you are leaving Lagos, you drive in there, that's exactly the way it is in foreign countries. Everything is clean. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then I noticed, I don't want to mention this because we're recording this thing. There's a new filling station built right across here. At the same time, Connor there was built. Look at their floor. It's as rough as a typical Nigerian filling station. You pour concrete like this, they didn't level it well. The thing is just upside down. Now, so I was telling my wife, I said, listen, it's not money. It's an idea in the mind of somebody. She was telling me, what do you mean? I said, look at the people running the station. Said, look at that madam that runs the station. Does she look like a neat person to you? How do you expect her to create a neat floor for a new filling station? I mean, they have very good roof. They have the same lights that Conan has, but it doesn't create the same effect. It doesn't. I went to somewhere a few days ago. I saw a house that a guy told me they started in July. All right? This is, this was end of November when the guy was seeing the house. They were about 3 days to finishing it. All I was thinking of was how they finished the house. I said, what was here before? He said, what was here? We knocked it down. The guy didn't know what I was looking at. I was looking at the angles. I was looking at how they are in the doors, the partition. I was looking at everything. I told myself, I want to build my own house. Forget. I won't even go. I will look for a good man who has the spirit of Bezalel. Are you getting my point? Who knows how to do things perfectly? I'm coming down to a point with all of this as I'm saying. So now, because I'm always thinking like this, are you getting my point? If you throw 20 million naira into my hands tomorrow and say, Pastor Banky, now build your own house, you won't see nonsense. That is, the design will be ready in 1 month. You say, this man, that's so quick. No. Every day I go out, you know, I've been looking at houses well finished. I've been looking at tiles. I don't build houses. I already know the different kinds of tiles that exist. Because I'll walk in somewhere and say, man, these tiles are fine. And they'll tell me that I don't mind these tiles. It will not last beyond 2 years. Once they walk upon it, it will fade. I said, why? He said, because there is a particular type. It's coded in my brain. I'm not building a house yet. Are you getting my point? I mean, doors. My friend sells doors. I already know that there are different kinds of doors. It's not just to go and carry wood. Boom, 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 hammer the door together and say, now we have a door here. No, there's a reason why people buy doors and they don't build them. Because they are professional door makers. And when they make their doors, it's not like that of your carpenter. You are getting what I'm saying? That is, you're already brooding. You're already incubating these things. And listen, that's the job of a believer. When you are ready, it will come forth. I don't know whether you get my point. Actually, see, listen. One of the things I'm explaining today is the process of what? Conversion. I talked about wisdom for creation. I'm going to talk, if I have the time, on what I call the process of what? Conversion. Because I said at the beginning, what God requires from believers is not, for example, to have money. No. What he requires is that the thing is first formed in your heart. You know, I was discussing with my wife again. Three of us, me, my wife, and Mike, were talking yesterday night. I said, it was when I got to Lagos after my youth service, I made up my mind in life. I will never do anything just because of money. I will not struggle to have plenty of money. No, I swore I won't do it. I told God I will do what is right. I will do my assignment in life, which for me is ministry. And I trust you to just bless me abundantly. I said, why? Because I saw people. I mean, when I finished the service, a good job for a young doctor was 5,000 naira a month. And if you wanted to die trying to buy a car, you could have three. You do one 8 to 2, one 2 to 8, and one 8 to 8. And you pray that the 8 to 8 one, you won't have patience so that you can sleep. I had people who were doing it. And at the end of the month, you know what you gather? 15,000 naira. Working 24 hours a day. And yet, I sat in the midst of people that wore 15,000 naira shoes. I sat with people. They would say, please, let me pick my bag. And the bag would be 25,000 naira in price. I didn't say the content. that is, please pick my bag for me. You check the bag. The bag is, they bought it for 25,000 naira. And I saw people make, you know, one man bought a car, parked it here. After about 1 month, they sold it, and he pocketed 700,000 naira and gave the man who brought the customer 35,000. Now, listen to me. I was working. Now, to earn 35,000 then, I needed to work comfortably every month for 7 months. Are you getting my point? Or work like I want to die for 2.5 months. So then I swore. I sat down. I looked, I beheld. You get my point? I took instruction and said, the blessing of God, it makes rich and does not add sorrow. So now listen, I have incubated that in my mind. That was when God breathed upon the scripture and told me, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Now, all the troubles in the country couldn't persuade me otherwise. Are you getting my point? Because I had first brooded upon the vanity of struggling to succeed in life. So I found out that first, you will go to God like Jabez and say, oh, that you will bless me indeed. I said, God, after that, give me my own assignment. He said, go and work in the loot. I went. How are you surviving on 5,000 naira a month? Don't worry. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I'm going to say something again because you see from Romans chapter 4 where I said we should open to which we ended up not reading, that the Bible said that with respect to the promise of God, even after contemplating his body, he did not weaken in faith. That is, while he was contemplating his body, what he was doing was using the promise of God to judge the situation. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you follow the point I'm making, all things I'm saying? So this is how it is with Christians. The first thing God wants to do is to convert you in your heart so that you will receive the thing that he wants to do. Having received it, now listen, then he begins to give you a breakdown as time goes on of the wisdom for salvation. We've talked about that before. There's one of our series. There's a particular message there titled Wisdom for Salvation. Are you getting my point? Now we're talking about wisdom for creation. God now tells you now, I'm not forgetting the MD that I am, the hypothetical MD. So he says, all right, what's the next thing we do? We are finished at adverts. Now, how do we improve the quality of our products? Like the Toyota man will say, a culture of what? Continual improvement. So I improve this thing here. Now, listen to this. We are going to a particular end, but we are creating different spots at different times. This is the beauty and the advantage of the believer. One, God gives him the wisdom to know what to speak about each time. Are you getting my point? Now, you know, this is where lack of faith comes in as an example. The earth is without form, and it is void. Then somebody says, let an express train be made to Jupiter. Are you getting my point? Now, that express train may be made, but it takes you out of the place of divine destiny and takes you somewhere else. Now, this is the beauty, the advantage of the believer. You find the wisdom to know where exactly to lay your emphasis. For example, as a person, you know, I said something at the beginning, that when we're talking about the power for creation, you are not supposed to take something that we're saying here and start focusing on things that are not your business. You understand what I'm trying to say? I've been to places, they say that, let us pray for the evangelist in Libya. Do you know anyone? I don't. Your brother lives in Libya? No. Do you have any relation in Libya? Because you watch them on CNN. I'm not saying it is bad, but I don't know what I'm going to say. Do you get my point? It doesn't come out of me to pray for Libya. I'm not saying it is wrong. You can pray for Libya. He said, here, we are going to reach the whole world. Go ahead. In fact, I have it on my phone also. The world across the world. We'll do that. But you think I pray about, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, this word is just spreading all over the world. Listen, my friend. First, it is spreading to Cosmo FM. So we declare concerning Cosmo FM favor. We declare concerning Cosmo FM. Are you getting my point? Then the next thing that happens is that, I mean, you're all witnesses. I just said, this year, we are buying cameras. Before the year ended, we had bought 2 cameras. Are you getting my point? The word will spread across the world. But each time, there is something that we will speak about. Are you getting my point? That whatever happens, for me, what's most important is that everything we do is recorded. That is why you are witness of the kind of inconvenience I go through to make sure we have a very clean recording. That's what I'm talking about. Power for creation you use on what is your business. Then when you have conquered Jerusalem, then suddenly you have the ability, because that's how it is, God opens your heart and your eyes. You are able to conquer Judea. You get my point? So next thing we are doing, how much is it they actually charge to be on ITV? 30 minutes a week. That's TV. Okay, what do you want to do 1 hour? 45 minutes. You're already thinking, You are conquering that. Now, you have many, many books. Now see, when you are doing your own business, you have different illustrations to use. I'm talking because I'm what? A preacher. I am a preacher. These are the things that concern me as a person. So those are my illustrations. Please, do you understand? Please, let me pause for a second and explain this. Because this is one of the problems with Christians. You think that because a preacher is the preacher. No, let me say it like this. Because the preacher is a preacher, all right? Do you get my point? You think preaching is the only issue happening in life. You don't get my point. Somebody will now wake up and say, praise God. Last week, after I prayed and I had some great need, and one man just called me and said, sir, I've been blessed by your message. I just want to sow a seed into your life. He has 5 million naira. Say, amen. And the businessman is waiting for somebody to sow 5 million naira into his life. Listen to me. Nobody is sowing 5 million naira into your life. You know what God will do for you? He will open great doors that your business might grow. And then you will get 5 million naira. And probably give me part of it because I preached the message to you. No. Do you understand my logic? Please. I'm saying this because we must not forget the work of God. There's a material I'm working on. How may I serve God? It's not just preaching. I'm just using preaching because that is what is my own assignment. Your own assignment may be building a big business. Your own assignment may be building a great school. Your own assignment may be becoming a politician. And let me say that again. If God calls to be president, don't contest for presidency. Please, I'm not talking against Pastor Chris Okoti. Do you understand my point? He did his thing the way he liked it. But you go, what's the name? Gozie. If God says you'll be president, let me find you contesting for councilor election next time. That is what I'm trying to say. I know you will be president. David was appointed king 13 years before he mounted the throne. Do you follow my point? God said you'll be president. I know. I mean, in 5 years, time, she come and tell me, so, sir, by the grace of God, we are now members of the State House of Assembly or the Federal House of Reps. That's what I want to hear. After that, you will see a way by which, I mean, you're just moving on. Not next thing is that, God bless you. Pray for us. Very soon we'll probably be the vice president, elect. Pray for us. Then one day, and I say, no, sir. I think that vice president is not working again. The Lord just spoke to me. Now, actually, he spoke 15 years ago. Are you getting my point? But now, you are going for presidency and you are going to win the election. You jump out from your law practice and you just want to be president. Oh boy, I will pray for you, but I don't know right now. Right now, my faith not just stay there because it doesn't seem to follow divine protocol. It doesn't seem. Now, I know there are exceptions. I hope you are following my point. You are following my point. Yeah. All right. Now, so, talking about this wisdom for creation, therefore, what God does for you is to show you the steps. And as he shows you each step, then you know what I mean? Over the step and realize what you are supposed to do, and then you declare concerning it. Are you getting my point? And then when that one works, let me tell you something about great faith. Great faith is not developed overnight. Let me digress into that. Great faith, because everything we are doing by faith, but faith must be trained. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I mean, go and read Ben Carson's story. I read it recently again. That's what I want to use as an example. He was the dullest boy in his class. Again, don't forget, there was a reason for it. There was a reason why he was so stupid, in quote. It wasn't genetic. It was not in his brain. It was just an attitude towards some issues. Now, how did he jump to the top of the class? One of the reasons was that his mother forced him and his brother to read. And his mother cut down TV to, I think, 2 hours a week or something like that. Now, the mother didn't just wake up in the morning and say, now you are the brightest boys in school. Go ahead and be the brightest boys. There's a background statement. My boys are good. They are blessed. That is correct. But then, my bright boys watch too much TV. Therefore, say, let there be power failure upon the TV. That's the first instruction. And there is power failure upon the TV. And like Ben Carson said in that book, parents tell me this, I don't know how I can get my children to stop watching TV. He said, how do you do it? How did my mother do it? She simply told us to stop and turn the thing off. That is a miracle of stopping TV watching. That's a miracle. No, take my kids, for example. When they went, that's why it's good to go to places and have beautiful ideas. We went to visit our friends in Benin one day. And then my friend called his wife, called the kids, and said, yeah, everybody, time for bed. And we looked at each other and said, 7:30, time for bed. No, it was around 8 o'clock. I said, 8 o'clock, time for bed. Ha! My kids will never agree. We said. And she said, no, that actually is 7:30. It's because we are around. So they didn't remember to tell the kids to go and sleep. So they told us exactly how it worked. Anyway, we noted it. You didn't say, what's wrong with them? No, we just noted it, but we couldn't do it. Then I think my wife went for there's this meeting that our alumni women hold every year. When she came back, they preached some hot message there. That, like I said, I didn't hear it. The message moved. Are you getting my point? So just entered the house and read the riot act to the kids. From now on, you guys sleep at this particular time. Number two, henceforth, you're not sleeping in my room anymore. You are going to your own room to sleep. You know the interesting part? Akinlu came to me and said, Daddy, you know, Mommy said we are going to have our own room. Now, these were kids we thought we did not know how we would drive out of the room. She just went there and told them, from now, you will sleep at so and so time, and this is the room you'll be sleeping in. And it was so. And the mommy saw that it was good. Do you follow what I'm going to say? And that was the step that Ben Cassie's mother used. So you look and say, oh yeah, after TV stops, now you go to the library and you summarize, I think, a book or two for me every week, though she could hardly read it. Now it was while doing that, this is what I was talking about faith, that one day they asked a question in class. He saw he was the only person that understood it. His confidence rose up. Then after that, he realized that you can actually be a good student if you read. Just so he can get the pride of defeating all those white boys in class, the boy kept on reading. And then one day, he said, look, it felt good to be on top. Like, hey, you, idiot, come, let me help you solve the problem. I mean, he was the idiot before. Now he was the one calling people an idiot. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then his faith rose up. Like that, eventually, let me cut the story short, he became the first black neurosurgeon, a chief of pediatric neurosurgery in a pure white institution where his own fellow black men said, they will never take a black man like you. Where many people applied for the post, they took only him. When the final job came as a chief, his orga presented his case to a pure white board and they admitted only him. Are you getting the point? And then one day, a serious problem came. He was the lead person to separate the Binder's twins. And they said, okay, who will talk to the press? Which was actually what gave him the visibility that he now had. All of them said, okay, you are the chief. Go and talk. Now, all these things happened by faith. You must get this point. But where did the faith come from? Did he just wake up one day and say, I want to be a neurosurgeon? No. His faith first helped him answer a question in class. And he saw that it was good to answer a question. Then that pushed him to the next level. And eventually, it was good to be on top of the class. Then eventually, the idea of being a doctor was good. Are you getting my point? He was able to conceive it. What am I going to say? His conception, his ability to conceive great matters didn't happen overnight. God trained his faith bit by bit. I was explaining, was he here on Monday? Yes, it was on Monday, School of Bible Exegesis. I said that Isaac was not the first child that Abraham sacrificed. You know that? Were you not here on Monday? All right, those who are here, they understand what I'm saying. Isaac was not the first. Yeah, he was not the first now killing people. Isaac was the first. He was supposed to use his hand to kill directly. Before that, there was a gentler way of killing somebody. Drive out this woman and her son. It was the killing of Ishmael. Because the Bible says clearly, the thing was grievous to Abraham. Because of his son Ishmael. Ishmael had grown in his house. He was the only son he had at the time. Do you get the point? So one day God said, now, get what I'm saying. We think about it like this, that he said, send Ishmael away. So Ishmael, you will no longer live with me in this my house in GRA. I will move you to my estate in Abakiliki. All right, so you will stay there. I will send you some servants. That's why you think it was like, send the woman away and her son. Send the woman away and her son. He gave them water, a bit of bread, and they went into the wilderness. It was a death sentence. Get the point? It was. No, read the story now. Go and read it in context. The woman herself placed the boy somewhere to go and die. It was a death sentence. So you think everyone just woke up one morning and said, yeah, we're going to sacrifice Isaac right now. Right now? No, I'm a man of faith. Listen. First, his body was as good as dead. He had Isaac. Are you getting my point? He left Ishmael out to die in the wilderness. God preserved him and said, I will make him a great nation. Ishmael and Isaac buried Abraham. You know that? When Abraham died, Ishmael came back home. He and Isaac gathered and buried Abraham. I mean, he has seen God manifest. The same God. I've been open to that Romans chapter 4, where I said it should open to at the beginning. See what he said? Let me start from verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured. Please, I like King James here. He said, being what? Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Quickly jump over somewhere. That will be 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to quickly see something there too. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said, he said, you, however, verse 14, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. The point I'm making here is this. Paul explained to Timothy that it took a process, that's what I'm saying, to fully convince you of something. And the Bible said concerning Abraham that he was fully persuaded. That is, when you say fully persuaded, it means there is a time of what? Partial persuasion. I don't know whether you follow my point. There was a time in which he was partially persuaded. He was not fully persuaded. Which means that to reach that point of faith, in which the Bible says faith is a conviction of things not seen. For him to reach that position of faith, he went through a process of persuasion. Are you getting my point? And that's what I'm using Abraham as an example for again. The death, in quotes now, of Ishmael was the first example at killing his son. It was part of the ways by which God persuaded him concerning what he was going to do concerning Isaac. Are you getting the point I'm making? So let's get back to what I was saying. So the man, don't forget, you know, I keep on jumping away from him. I'm coming back. That's my MD that I am. All right? Each point in the plan for increasing our sales from $500,000 a month to $25 million a month is as each one succeeds that we gather the faith for the next level. Are you getting my point? It's not just to abandon it because, you see, I said something earlier. You see, when God said to him, concerning Adam, that, look, it is not good that this man is alone. He did not say, Adam is not good. You know what we're going to do? Kill this Adam. Let us create another one. And then this time around, we'll do one that is good. What did he say? He said, we'll make him a helpmate. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, the wisdom of God has allowed you to see something. You have spoken about it. It did not come out exactly the way you thought it should. It is not, let us kill this one. It is, let us sit down. Do we make it a helpmate that will be perfect for it? Now, I'm explaining something. Is as we go one step after the other, don't forget this is the power of the believer. He has the wisdom to know what to do. He has the wisdom to know what to tackle. He has the wisdom to know when to tackle it. Then God now gives him the power. What is power? Power is grace, which manifests many ways. For example, it manifests as favor. Are you getting my point? Let me give you, for example, we are on Cosmo now twice a week as an example. When I first said, let us cut this program down to 15 minutes twice a week, one of the people in Cosmo FM said, oh, guy, it is too short. So he said, is it money? I said, well, it's not just money, but I won't say money is not a part of it. That if you told me to do 30 minutes twice a week for the same price of 30 minutes once a week, of course I would do it. He said, why don't you go and talk to our marketing people? I am sure there is something they will be able to do. Are you getting my point? So of course, the day I got there, I sat down. Yeah, Sandra. So Sandra said, Pastor, what are you asking for? I said, Sandra, what are you offering? He said, no, what are you asking for? I said, oh, what I'm asking for, I'll tell you. Give us twice a week, double what we're doing before. We don't pay you a dime extra. He said, no, how can I possibly do that? I said, do you say no? He said, yes. I said, at least now we have settled one thing. That is not acceptable. All right, so let's go. This is what I'm making. By the time they finally agreed on the amount we'll be paying, it was like increasing our fees by 40%, but we're getting double the airtime we're getting. Do you get my point? I'm using that as an example. Double the rich, a little extra in money, that is favor. That is grace working on your behalf. Now, that is what the believer has working on his side. Number one, the wisdom. And number two, the what? The power. Don't forget that. I said something that God, when he was creating, he said, and there was light. We don't know the language he spoke. Are you getting what I say? But that was God. With the intensity of the power in his being. Then when the small people he has put on the earth are going to create, their own is easier to analyze. You will see the steps. God will give them wisdom, and they will take it one by one and speak about it. Now, why are we talking about this? Today, while I was meditating, I just realized that I should explain something about why this talk is going on. Because I was saying something earlier, yeah, which I didn't finish saying. I was referring to, maybe I said, I went to a place in Enugu, a filling station, and it looked like a filling station should look like. It was clean, all right? It was smooth. It was night. All the lights were working. The place was like day, though it was night. And I said, my God, this is good. Are you getting my point? And I thought that, do you know we can make the whole of Enugu like that? Now, there's a reason why, there's something I'm trying to say. And let me tell you something. Somebody went somewhere once and said that, you know, I think it was on Discovery Channel, I was watching it, or I read it in the National Geographic, the mag, one of the two. There was one old, you know, those castles, you know, all those buildings of those days. That people went on top of, they now noticed the chapel. The chapel was cold. All the seats there were made of stone. They said, why? He said, because we believe that serving God should be with pain. So the whole castle is heated with fire, but that one was left cold in winter. So when you came to the chapel, you will stand straight. You'll be really cold because you are going to serve God. Now, that is not really how God is. Are you getting my point? John the Baptist was a special type. Was not the usual type of God's people. You know what I'm saying? Eating locusts and wild honey. The Bible says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the good, to refuse the evil and choose the good. God never ordained this, that John the Baptist lifestyle is not standard. It was made out of emergency situations to solve certain problems. Are you getting my point? That is, God actually desires that life should be good. That's what I'm trying to explain. And when God wants life to be good, what he does is to make people that are his people go out and create that which is good. Are you getting my point? Now, in trying to create that which is good, hindrances come up. That's what I'm trying to explain. You find out that they will look at life and say it is formless and void. And they make the mistake and say it's not worth it. Are you following what I'm saying? Like, let's say they are Nigerians. Now, listen. If NEPA does to you what he has done to me in the last few weeks, believe me, you have to have vision not to complain. I don't know how many people are feeling it. Can you hear all the generators standing around? It is not the desire of their heart. It is the failure of the public power supply. Now, when you see it in other things that you are doing, it is natural. It is natural. I didn't say it is good. I didn't say it is righteous. I didn't say it is the holy thing to do. It's just the natural thing to do to want to give up. All right? But then, that's another thing about serving God. You are forbidden from giving up. In fact, giving up in God's presence is a sin. Let me say that again. It's called the fearful. That is, those who don't do things for God because of the hindrances and the challenges of life. Listen, turning back from executing successfully and completely the mission that you have placed your hand to do on earth, if you know it is right, is a sin. Please, I hope you are getting my point. But God, knowing that people will be tempted to do that, that is why he teaches them about what? Creative power, the principles of creation. So that when they give birth to Adam, and the Adam is not good, they don't throw away the Adam. They make for it a helpmate. Oh, do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, before God said, this is very good. Yes, for God, everything worked out smoothly. But with Adam, he gave us a picture. That if the earth had produced, now let's assume now that, just to illustrate, that God finished creating, after he said, let vegetation come forth. Let us assume that the vegetation came out, shoom, in 10 seconds. All right? No, let me say 2 seconds. So fast that you cannot really plot the progress. If Ubong wants to say, let vegetation come up, God said, this is what you see sometimes. Sometimes the first thing you see is not vegetation. It's all the worms that are inside the earth. They are the first to rise up. You have said, let vegetation come up. So you see the worms coming out. You say, worms, you are not supposed to be here. So you take a rake and rake off the worms. Do you get what I'm going to say? They say, where are the vegetations that are coming up? Oh, there are stones standing upon them. So you invent something to clear the stones from their top. And then finally, at the end of 1 year, the vegetations have come up. God said, let vegetations come forth. It came out in 2 seconds. You said, let vegetations come. It came out in 365 days. And in those 365 days, you were actively involved one step after the other. Let the worms disappear. Let the stones move. Let the waters water it. Let the rain fall. Let the sun shine. Do you get what I'm saying? So that at the end of the day, there is success exactly like God had it, but the process is longer. You know, it's more visible for us to analyze. This is the mistake. People think that by the second month, when the vegetation are not comfort, you know what we do? We'll close the field and go somewhere else. That's why I'm teaching again. Listen, Nigeria may look upside down. Wherever you are may look upside down. God said the only way, because that's what God is trying to do, is trying to recreate. I was studying the Bible, read Isaiah chapter 65. God said, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Now, the way we look at it before that, look, this new heaven and new earth, and when we get down to heaven and that kind of thing. But I noticed that he said in that new heavens and that new earth, he said nobody will die before the age of 100. That means they are still going to die. So it cannot be the eternity you and I are thinking about. I don't know whether you get my point. He said if anybody dies before the age of 100, he will be thought of as accursed. Talking about in the new heaven, on the new earth, which means therefore, it cannot be the eternity and resurrection that you are now thinking about because people are still going to die. Now, so a picture came to my mind from that, which means that anywhere we go in life is the old earth. And God says, having been connected to the new heavens in Christ Jesus, you have a responsibility to create a new earth therein. Like I said, it's what? A Christian duty. It is not a wish. It's not something that I do because man must survive. It is what? A Christian duty. You know, I think my wife and I and a friend were analyzing a few days ago about many things happening in the world, you know. We're analyzing the economy of Nigeria, people control economics, some things that Yaradua is trying to do about some privatization projects and all of that. Then, you know, because of that, I began to think that there are people who, you know, like, they control maybe like, they want to do a project, they just wake up and say, all right, that's going to cost about $600 million. And they are thinking in such volume of money. And, you know, you will think that, why don't they just give small projects like, let them just dash us $100 million and then we won't have to pray again. I don't know whether you get my point. That, of course, I realized something, that this is how God is. In everything in life, God is building you into something. I taught that one on radio. In everything in life, God is doing what? He's building you into something. And that is the perfect image of Christ Jesus. If God gave you an assignment that will cost, for a perfect completion, that will cost 10 million naira, listen to me, and he gave another man an assignment that for a perfect completion, it will cost $100 million. Can you see how wide it is? A dollar being about 127 naira. If both of you are believers and doing the work of God, listen, you know what happened? The same amount of faith, the same amount of creative power that the man doing $100 billion will have to, is it 100 billion? Is it 100 million? Million, all right? Dollars will have to exercise is exactly the same amount of spiritual energy that a man going for 10 million will have to exercise. Because with God, money is not the issue. Two things are the issue. Number one, what is produced? And number two, the spiritual development of the man that's producing it. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, the man that has $100 million, God will not say, go and give that guy $10 million to finish quick. No, he won't. He said, let him learn the process of producing the first $1 million. I don't know whether I get my point. Because while he's learning that, he's becoming fully persuaded about the faith of God. That if he suddenly help him deliver that thing, go, let me have God's undivided attention. You have aborted his spiritual development. Oh God, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. Are you following me or I'm talking too much?
No.
You're following me? All right. What am I explaining? That's the way it is with God. He's teaching us things, and at the same time, he's making us develop to certain levels. That is why the man who's going, God gave him a project, is $100 billion to bless the earth. He is using the same amount of faith, the same amount of spiritual energy as the man who God gave $5 million project to exercise and get to full completion. Are you getting me? Because this is how it works. So while they are doing that, what God is doing actually, right, is not just bringing something out of them materially, but bringing something out of them, what? Spiritually. Because that is when they get to understand the true nature of God and they get to the position of what? Full persuasion concerning what God can do in their lives. Listen, I said something at the beginning, that is when God now has God can now choose each person and place him in charge of different cities. Have you got to my point? Let me summarize what I've said so far before, and then I'll be able to explain what the last thing I said again, because I feel like I didn't deliver it well enough. Now, I explain that, don't forget, two things that God gives people. Number one is what? Wisdom, and two, power. And that wisdom is knowing exactly how to use the ability that God has given you. Don't forget that. And I said, why do we have to teach this and help people understand it? That every good thing that we produce on this earth, don't forget this ever. Before you need to create good things, it is because something bad is there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the fact that something is wrong is not the reason why we should run to Jupiter or Mars. But we should brood upon that is wrong upon the earth and create a new heaven and create what? A new earth. Are you getting my point? Therefore, now using God's principles, and there's something I said I was going to develop next. I will start it now. Now, I said that we are creating a new earth, and that God has given each person an assignment. As he's creating his own portion of the new earth, God is creating, now listen, God is developing a Christ-like nature out of him. That's the summary of it. And it's by the experiences that he's having, one point after the other, that he enters into full persuasion. Are you getting my point? So when the man says, let there be, and the thing that is, now you ask yourself, why did God say, look, and decide it was good? Why did he not know that it would be good at the beginning? Should I tell you the reason? It may sound funny. Because there is actually a possibility that it is not good. He said, what do you mean? He looked at Adam. Did he not look at Adam? And said, this one is not good. But you see, what do you mean? God doesn't know what he's doing. He does. But he's speaking words that are interacting with people this time around. All right? Having spoken, he will look. Did the word have the necessary effect in their lives? No, he didn't. All right? So let us do something. Let us make a helpmate. I'm explaining a principle that for God, at the end of the day, that's what matters. That we finally get to the place where we are going. Are you getting my point? Now, I said that as God is doing that, what he's doing, as you're working with God like that, what he's doing is to develop an interesting character in you, what you call the Christ-like nature. That's what the Bible calls the spirit of Christ. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Now, that's exactly where God is going. That's why he will not suddenly wake up and say, let the earth be complete. And the earth will be complete. No. He allows you and I to see how he went through it step by step so that when our time comes to do work for God, we also learn the encouragement of faith to go through it how? Step by step. I said that is the only way we can become fully what? What's the word I use? Fully persuaded. So that we can become fully converted. Now, this is what I said I wanted to start developing. I'll go into it next time. Now, this process, I said, for us to be able to speak first, the first thing that God does is to first persuade us in our hearts. Now, I will close with this, all right? I want to close now. Just give me a few minutes. I will close with that. And then you will understand why this is very important. I'll go into it fully next time. Not today, all right? Next time, I will develop this one, what I want to say very, very fully. The major problem, why things don't happen now. And that's one challenge that I have had personally in the last 1 year and something I've been working on and developing. The major problem God has, why people can't do what he wants them to do, because like I said, God gives an assignment. This principle of creation that we're talking about, you're supposed to execute, you're supposed to use it to execute the work of God, all right? So if God says, do this, I said with God, to turn back from doing it is what? Iniquity. It is sin. It's a matter of fact. Now, the major problem God has is to convince people that it can be done. Did you hear me? No, I don't think you did. I said the major issue with God is to convince people that it can what? Be done. I believe, that's my conviction, that it's out of mercy for us to understand that God breaks things down to little steps. Let me tell you something. In spiritual development, if you developed far enough with God, all right, the more you develop, the quicker your let there be gets fulfilled. I don't know whether you get my point. See, spiritual energy is like physics. It's real. I don't know how to say it. It's tangible. If you have enough of it, you have more power to process. You have more power to execute. That's a matter of fact. Now, it's the word of God and the experiences of life that God uses to build up your spiritual energy. Get what I'm saying? The number one problem God has with people is to first persuade them that something can be done. And like I said, God is very kind. God doesn't expect, in quotes, mere mortals to just hear, we can take the land. And all of them will say, yeah, where is the land? Say, giants, doesn't matter. We have heard God say we can take the land. Look, that book I was telling you about, which is about ready now, Great Faith Can Be Yours, please read it when you get there. God doesn't just expect one little man to wake up one day and suddenly he's fighting giants because God said he can fight giants. No. What he does is to teach people that it can be done. Let me tell you something. Somebody and I were analyzing something recently. We're talking about United States, you know, Europe and Nigerian, you know, we're going abroad and all of that other thing. There's something we're analyzing about it. There's a problem with comfort. If a man gets up, gets a good job, and settles down, and pays his bills, and lives life in a cycle like that, actually what has happened essentially is that he has truncated his faith development, and nothing great will ever be produced by his hands. I know what I'm trying to say. Listen. God allows the difficulties of life, listen to me, to sharpen your faith so that you will be able to believe that anything can be done. I don't know whether you're following my point. Because you see, I have realized this. If God wanted to give me bank, he said, take 1 billion naira and go and preach the gospel at the beginning. Do you know he could have done it? Let me tell you how simple it is for God to do. I would have woken up one day and one man would have flown from maybe Australia and knocked on my door that God gave me your name and your address and I'm a billionaire. And God said I should give you $100 million. Take and go and do the work of God. And two of us will join our hands and say, Father, we thank you because you are the God that supplies. And he will wave bye-bye and he goes back and God will open an oil well for him and he will make his money back in 1 year. You know it's possible for God to do that. But you know the interesting part? The same level of message I preached at the beginning, that is the one I will preach for life if God did that. The same intensity of anointing with which you preached your first seminar, which I remember, I still have the tapes of my first seminar. I started Kingdom World Ministries with seminar. I'm embarrassed to listen to the tape. The thing they are, I won't, if you say, Pastor Frank, let's listen, I will refuse. Such an unanointed 3-day meeting, I'm not surprised that only my wife and my friend showed up the last day. The first day we had more people than the third day. I don't blame them. I can't touch that kind of nonsense. Of course, my wife came because what God has joined together, nothing can put us on. And my friend felt like, if I don't go, Kai, why would I stay to bank here? So at the end, I preached to two people on this, let me tell you, seminar that I printed posters, handbills. And the last day, I preached to myself, my wife, and my friend. Believe me, that's what will have been happening. At the end of the day, let me tell you something. When somebody's anointed, listen, it is not the words he spoke
that's more powerful than the words another person spoke. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard with our ears, which we saw with our eyes, which our hands handled. The problem with preaching is that a lot of people hear. Are you getting my point? But they don't touch. Therefore, they can't declare to people effectively. Are you getting my point? Preaching is not about, it's not about reading. That's why sometimes when I see people trying to imitate preachers, you want to like the DJs, or you want to talk like praise God and the Lord, like Kumi, or somebody shout hallelujah. It is not the voice. It's not how they said it. It is what they handled that they are delivering to you. Do you get the point I'm making? First, we printed tracts that two people paid for. Pastor Banky and his family. That's the two people. And that time, not only my wife, be my family. So between my wife and I, we paid for every... If there were 100 tracts, we paid for 100 tracts. Then after some time, somebody will say, oh, Pastor Banky, that your tract was such a blessing. Please, we'd like to give you this 1,000 naira to print more tracts. I said, God bless you. 1,000 naira to print more tracts. No, he kept on going down. Little, like that, like that, like that. The first time I declared that we're going to go on TV, my brother, when I went to Radio Nigeria and they told me their bill, I undeclared that we'll go on radio. That's a radio. Even me, I changed my mind. Personally, I said, no, we're not going on radio again. That I didn't tell anybody in my mind. But do you follow what I'm going to say? Bit by bit, I am being persuaded. It is not the money that is God's. God is not, he doesn't have a problem giving you that volume of cash to do work suddenly. The problem he has is that you will not learn anything while he's giving that to you. You will not learn how to trust. For example, it's not just, listen, I was reading something Robert Kiyosaki said. I saw his book, that book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. There was something he said there. I read the book before, but I just opened it a few days ago, yesterday, and I read that portion. He said, I don't do what I do because of money. He said, money is just a measure of how well I've done it. He said, Tiger Woods does not play golf for money. He said, Tiger Woods plays golf for love. I don't know whether I get what I'm trying to say. That the man plays golf because he loves to play golf. And how well, he said that he loves to master the game. So for him, it is about what? Mastering golf. That the amount of tournaments he wins and the amount of money he wins in the process is a sign to him of how much he has mastered the game. You know what he said in effect? If you said, tell Tiger Woods, stop playing, we'll pay you $100 million a year, he won't answer you. You want to kill him. That he plays golf to master golf. That money is not the reason why he's playing golf. In the same manner, let me tell you something about God. God is not primarily interested in the man, in the message that the man is preaching. He's first interested in the man preaching the message. Do you get my point? So if 100 million naira will spread the message across the world, but the man will not be a better messenger, God won't give him a dime. But if he has to pray to get 1 million naira to spread it just beyond the borders of his town, but in that process, he becomes a more fervent messenger. God will say, fine, withhold 1 million naira until he asks for it. Then as he's asking for it and crying out for it, then he gets 1 million. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That's what God is doing. When that guy said that thing, it was so striking to me. I told my wife, come and see. The guy said, I am doing what I'm doing to master it. He said, I made money trying to learn how to master the game of economics, the game of the marketplace, that he sees trading and business as a game that I must win. Therefore, even if he makes 1 billion naira and somebody else makes 2 billion, it's not like he's looking for money. He's saying that, how did they play that they defeated me? Then he starts again. He said, while I'm trying to learn, I found out that the best way to learn is to teach other people. So he started teaching people. And once he started teaching, he broke through into great wealth. That is, it became for him a sign of how much he has mastered the game. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I haven't lost you. And that's the way it is with God. That, listen,
What he's working on is to first disciple the people to a level where they will be what? Fully persuadable on virtually anything. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Because if God gave everybody, you know, remember that clown now who contested the Nigerian for president 2007? One guy in Lagos. He said he will give every Nigerian, is it 1 million or 10 million naira if he becomes president? I said, it's obvious God will never make you president. You don't understand the meaning of money. You think it's by giving everybody 1 million. The day you give everybody 1 million, at least 1,000 will die that day because of your 1 million. You know that? Why does God not do it? Because he doesn't want to kill 1,000. That is not the concept with God that, okay, let us give people money. His own is that, what will you become in the process? Are you getting my point? So what is he doing? When you are going through this process of learning, taking it step by step, you are discovering faith in God. Because a time will come, let me end with that, a time will come in which Jesus Christ will get up. Because the Bible said he learned obedience from what? The things that he suffered. But having been made perfect, the Bible said he became the author of eternal salvation for everybody who would draw near to God by him. Let me tell you the meaning of eternal salvation. When they told him that Lazarus had died, he had been made perfect. Oh God, I don't know how to explain this. He told the disciples, he said, Lazarus is sick. He said, that sickness is not unto death. But I need to prove that all human beings are not equal. Some are more equal than the others. Lazarus will rise again. Do you get my point? That is, a time comes, yes, to do your ministry, to do your work, you have to believe God for 100 naira, 500 naira, 1 million naira. A time will come when a man has developed to a level and God will just say, okay, listen, these guys have suffered power failure enough. Go there and I want you to do what Bola Ige couldn't do in 2 years. Do it in 6 months. So the man will mount office. They just give him one job like they used to give Erufai those days. So yeah, you are the director in charge of Bureau of Public Power Supply. And the man will tell you, in 6 months, there will be no power failure again in any corner of Nigeria. It is not that Bola Ige did not talk and Obasanjo did not support him, but they did not have the spiritual capacity to bring it to pass. Do you get my point? But this man that has been trained, he will get up and say that in 6 months, I am telling you people, there will be no failure in any corner of Nigeria. And in 5 months and 22 days, it will be done. And you'll spend the last maybe 8 days testing it to show everybody. So that at the end of 6 months, you'll say, for the last 1 week, there has been no power blinking anywhere in this country unless it's a natural disaster, you know, like, you know, hail falling on sinners from heaven and removing their transformer, apart from things like that. Do you get my point? Now, getting to that position is more important to God than having all your needs met. Are you getting my point? Your lack of supply will bring you up one level beyond where you were before, then God will withhold that supply until you have attained that level. I don't know whether you get my point.